Now come the cleanup and the questions after an enormous bridge collapsed in Baltimore. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jeff, and this is Plain English, where JR and I help you upgrade your English with stories about current events and trending topics. We tell a story about something in the news. You get to listen at the speed that's right for you. And we give you the resources and exercises to help you get involved in the story. And we think that's a great way to get better at English every week. Today's story, I'm not sure if this made international headlines or not, but this was a big deal in the US. An enormous bridge carrying an interstate highway fell into a river early in the morning on March 26th. This happened after a container ship struck one of the piers supporting the bridge. Today, I'll tell you what happened and what comes next. In the second half of the lesson, I'll show you how to use the English phrasal verb fire up. Now, before we start, I wanted to mention one of the membership options you have at plainenglish.com. Now, I don't talk about the starter membership very much, but if you're looking for an affordable way to learn a little more English every week, then the starter membership is a great option. Alongside every lesson we produce, we have interactive quizzes and exercises that help you improve your listening, pronunciation, grammar, and vocabulary. They're included in the Plus membership, but they're also included in the Starter membership, and you can get that one for as little as $4 per month. So if you're listening, and if you think you really like Plain English, and you want to do a little more with us, this is a great option. So to learn more about that, go to plainenglish.com/join, J-O-I-N, and you'll see more information. Well, now we're ready to start today's story. Early in the morning on March 26th, the Dolly, a container ship, left the port of Baltimore. Baltimore is an industrial city in the state of Maryland, just north of Washington, D.C. The Dolly is a new Panamax ship. That means it's one of the biggest ships that can cross the Panama Canal since the canal's expansion last decade. The Dolly was headed for Colombo, the capital of Sri Lanka. The journey was to take 27 days. There were 22 crew members on board, plus two pilots. Pilots are local workers who steer massive ships in and out of ports. They know the ports better than the ship captains do, so they take over steering when large ships enter and leave the ports. As the Dolly was navigating out of the port of Baltimore, the ship completely lost power. That means its engine, mechanicals, and lighting, they were all dead. It was the middle of the night. Everything was pitch black. Without power, the crew could not steer the ship, and the Dolly veered off course. In the darkness, amid the confusion, one thing was clear. The ship was on a collision course with a massive bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. This was a 2.6 kilometer long bridge that opened in 1977. Francis Scott Key was a poet who wrote the lyrics to the American National Anthem. The Key Bridge carried multiple lanes of highway traffic, and it was supported by several concrete columns fixed to the bed of the Patapsco River. The columns are called piers, and there was enough space between the piers for large ships to pass. But the dolly had lost its steering, and the ship was headed straight for one of those piers. The crew scrambled to avoid an accident. They dropped an anchor to slow the ship's progress. They steered the rudder hard to one side. They worked to fire up an emergency generator on board, but nothing worked on time. A collision was inevitable. Just minutes before impact, the crew sent an emergency Mayday message to the port. The bridge was in danger. Miraculously, the state's Department of Transportation was able to stop vehicle traffic on the bridge, so there were no cars and trucks passing overhead. The rest you can watch on video. The ship hit one of the bridge's support columns at 1:28 a.m. It was traveling at 8 knots, or about 15 kilometers per hour. In a matter of seconds, the main span of the bridge fell into the water. A large steel section crashed onto the ship's bow. The collapse took 20 seconds. At the time of impact, a construction crew was working on the bridge, filling potholes. 8 men were on that crew. 2 of them were rescued alive from the water. 2 bodies were found inside a truck at the bottom of the river. The other 4 were presumed dead. The ship was stuck in place for days afterward, trapped in between sections of the fallen bridge. Many of its 3,000 containers were mangled from the weight of the debris that fell on them. Others had been tossed into the water. The bridge was left in pieces, just wreckage in the river. You could see entire sections sticking up diagonally above the water. But it was worse below the surface, where about 80 to 90% of material had come to rest. One Coast Guard official said it was a tangled mess of material down there. Cleanup crews began to cut the bridge up into smaller pieces and haul each piece off one by one. One of the biggest cranes in the world was brought in to help. All operations at the port were suspended in the days after the closure. The following week, a narrow lane through the harbor was opened for commercially essential ships. The task force managing the cleanup hopes to gradually open wider lanes as the disaster area is cleared. The bridge collapse will have a significant economic impact on Baltimore and the companies that operate there. The Port of Baltimore is the 9th busiest port in the United States. It is a big part of the regional economy. Almost all shipping had to be diverted to other ports in the region, to New York and New Jersey to the north, and to Virginia, Georgia, and Florida to the south. Those ports have additional capacity, and they can handle additional shipments while Baltimore is closed. But the problem is more complex than simply diverting ships. Containers are flexible. Those can easily go to other ports. But Baltimore handles more cars and trucks than any other port in the United States. Those are harder to divert, since not every port can handle vehicle imports. Baltimore also handles specialized raw materials. The biggest sugar refinery in the Western Hemisphere is located right next to the port of Baltimore. Domino Sugar takes raw cane sugar off imported ships and refines it into various products for consumption in the U.S. and elsewhere. Those operations will be significantly disrupted by the port's closure. And then there's traffic. The bridge carried an interstate highway that formed part of the Beltway, or the highway loop around Baltimore. About 30,000 vehicles crossed the bridge every day. They'll now have to be rerouted through tunnels or other roads in the region. That will cost commuters, people going about their business, and of course, shipping in the area. It will put more traffic on a nearby section of Interstate 95, already one of the most heavily traveled in the country. I heard one reporter describe it this way. He said, "Baltimore used to have a beltway loop around the city. Now it just has a letter C." This wasn't a famous bridge. This wasn't a landmark bridge, but it was big. It was big and famous in Baltimore. A big bridge over a river. This is one of those things that's just part of the background of life. A bridge falling into the water. I mean, you just don't think about that. And then it happens, and you can watch it. There was security camera footage, and this enormous bridge fell down in a matter of seconds, piece by piece. It was like watching the Twin Towers again. You don't think something like this can happen, and then it happens, and it only takes a few seconds. All right, I've got a great phrasal verb for you today: fire up. To fire something up is to start something like a machine. We often, but not always, use it to describe starting something that is powered by combustion, by fuel, by fire. You can fire up an engine. You would use this when describing race car drivers, Formula One or NASCAR. When the drivers are getting ready, they fire up their engines. They ignite the engines, and the car is ready to go. You would use this when describing the engines on a spacecraft. The engineers fire up the rocket's engines in the minutes before takeoff. You can even use fire up to describe starting the engines of a normal airplane. Now, there are situations where you would use fire up And there are certain situations where you would not. So you can fire up the engines of a race car, but you would typically not fire up the engine of a normal car in your driveway. You would just start the car. You can fire up a chainsaw if you need to cut apart a fallen tree, but you would not typically say fire up a lawnmower. A generator is a backup source of power, usually electricity. It runs on fuel, gasoline. Hospitals have generators. They need power every moment of the day. So if the electricity goes out, they fire up the generators. They start the generators, usually within seconds, at some places, even faster. A big ocean-going ship has backup generators. And the Dolly, the ship that hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, the Dolly had a generator. The ship lost power as it was navigating out of the port of Baltimore. The ship was headed for one of the pillars that supported the bridge. In the moments before impact, the ship's crew fired up a generator, but it was too late. They fired up the generator. That means they started the generator, but it was still too late to avoid the accident. You can also use fire up with a grill. It's time to fire up the grill. This is a really common phrase. You can fire up a charcoal grill or a gas grill, doesn't matter. The act of lighting and starting the grill is firing up the grill. So these are all examples of actual fire, actual combustion. But sometimes you use fire up with non-combustible things. You can fire up a computer if you turn it on. What time do you start work in the morning? I usually fire up the computer around 7:30 or 8 o'clock. I usually turn my computer on at about that time. You can, in some cases, use fire up with software or programs running on your computer. But you would not use this with programs you use all the time. You'd use this if you wanted to start a program for a specific purpose. So let's say you took a lot of photos and now you need to edit them. You might fire up Photoshop to edit those photos. That works because perhaps Photoshop is not a program that's always open and running on your computer. But this is less common. It's much more common to use fire up with combustible things like the grill or a generator. Well, that brings us to the end of Plain English today. I hope you learned a lot. And remember, if you want to continue learning with Plain English after you finish listening, then remember, we have quizzes and exercises to help you build your skills. The exercises are right on the same page as the transcript. It's in a section called Activities. And with each story, we have a quiz, a listening exercise, a pronunciation exercise, a vocabulary exercise, and two fill-in-the-blank exercises to help you with verb tenses and prepositions. And then on the expressions page, there's another quiz. So if you're a Plus member or a Starter member, you already have access to those. If you're not, then check out that starter membership. I don't talk about it a lot, but it's the most affordable way to learn a little more English with each lesson. So check that out at plainenglish.com/join, J-O-I-N, if you're not already a Plus or Starter member. See you right back here on Thursday for another lesson.